Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I really love that new song that we sang. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Really good. It got a bit of an old-time feel for me, and I loved that. That was good. Now, I'm going to ask you a question and see if the children, if you know the answer to this, but don't shout out loud. But everybody, try to answer this question in your mind. Who is your best friend and who is your worst enemy? Don't shout out. Do you know your best friend? Do you know your worst enemy? Now, a number of you would have thought, like I would, my best friend is Jesus. My worst enemy is the devil. You know, that's we understand that. But that's not the answer to this question. So I'm going to ask you this question again. Do you know your best friend and your worst enemy? Let me make it even harder for you. Your best friend and your worst enemy is the same. Don't shout out, don't shout out. Now we're going to have a picture come up in a minute and just see if how many of you guessed your best friend and your worst enemy. We'll have that picture up now if we can. What is that? A tongue. What? That's your best friend and your worst enemy. Listen to this scripture. Listen to this from James. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. I came across that scripture many years ago, and I still battle with that scripture today. Listen, it's quite interesting. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. How would I know if you're perfect? By the way you speak. Wow. And he says here, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we could turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets a whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Powerful words, would you agree? All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Can we have that picture again? You've all got one of these. Can I see it? Some's got bigger ones than others. Some's got tiny ones. And we often say, don't stick your tongue out. You know, don't. At school, I remember, I don't know whether the kids will tell me this. When I was at school, if we didn't like somebody, we used to go, But do they still do that today? Oh, they still do it. Okay. So sticking your tongue out if you don't like somebody, it is an amazing thing. David said in a beautiful psalm, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In the book of Proverbs, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. And as we've just read, James said, no man can tame the tongue.
It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. The words we speak have a profound effect on our lives and those around us. Most people are not aware of the power of the words they speak. Word shapers, they mold our personality and character. Words shape you and mold your personality and character. You are what you are right now because of all the words ever spoken over you that you have believed. The words that you hear that you believe have shaped your personality and your character. We can use words to encourage, strengthen, motivate, bless, comfort, defend, restore, and heal others. We can use words to hurt, wound, humiliate, belittle, embarrass, devalue, deceive, and destroy. I'm going to read that again because those things I just read are in the power of your tongue. That little member. There's not, but most of the time you don't see the tongue. Most of the time it's hidden. But you know, if you cut your tongue out, you can't speak. I know we need our vocal cords, but we need our tongue as well that go together with the vocal cords and we speak. So when you speak, your words can encourage, strengthen, motivate, bless, comfort, defend, restore, and heal others. Your words have healing power. We can use words to hurt, to wound, to humiliate, to belittle, to embarrass, to devalue, to deceive, and to destroy. And guess what? We've all used those words in those two categories at some time in our life. And the last category, maybe more than what we realize. As Christians, we should carefully control the words that we speak. Can you say amen to that? Amen. As Christians, particularly, we should carefully control the words that we speak. The Word of God encourages not to lie, not to use filthy language. Everybody listen to me now, everybody. You young people especially, and you who are going into your teens, be careful. Don't lie. Don't use filthy language. Don't gossip. Today, language is used far more than ever it was when I was younger. The F word is used all the time. I find it very difficult to find a film that hasn't got the F word in it. And I'm not just talking about adults using it. I mean kids as well. It's evil. It is so wrong. Now, before I was a Christian, I used to use the F word all the time. I had a filthy mouth. People used to tell me that I had a dirty, filthy mouth. The way that I was brought up in a dysfunctional home. But when I got saved at the age of 15, my swearing stopped. That was the first thing that went. And I stopped swearing. And I have found that I can speak just as well, get through a day without any swear words at all. There's absolutely no reason for it. So if you're a Christian, the Word of God, it encourages us not to lie, not to use filthy language, not to gossip. Ooh, that's a hard one. Because we like gossiping. You're looking at me so serious. You say, not me, Pastor. Not me. I'm too spiritual for that. Rubbish. We all like a bit of gossip. Come on. And what does gossip usually do? Pull somebody down. You would sooner hear somebody saying something bad about somebody than somebody saying something good. If after we're having coffee afterwards and I bring you a thing, can I just tell you about so-and-so? They're really great people, really lovely person. You'll be going, oh, yeah. But if I say, let me tell you about so-and-so. Did you hear what she did? Did you hear what he did? Tell me. Come on, you are attracted. You could tell from the other side of the room if somebody's gossiping. You want to get over there quick. You want to hear what have they got? What have they got to say? Now we laugh, and in a sense it's funny. But guess what? True. It's true. We like to gossip, and if gossip is pulling people down, may God have mercy on our sins, on our souls, because mostly gossip is pulling people down. But I believe you can gossip. I'm a great believer in gossiping the gospel. If you want to gossip with me, let's gossip the gospel. Amen. Let's talk about Jesus and all he has done for us. So you can do that. Amen. You can do it. So don't use filthy language. Don't lie. Don't gossip. Don't slander. And don't blaspheme. These we do with our lips. As well as the F word that is so prevalent today. And that's, I mean, all around the world, that word is prevalent. Also, taking God's name in vain is prevalent. And I've actually heard in conversation some of you do this. I haven't said anything, but some of you do. What do I mean by taking God's name in vain? Well, something that happens to you that shocks you, we used to say, oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. But now it's, oh, my God. You hear that as much as you hear the F word, if not more. You listen to people, how much they say, oh, my God. If it's something good that's been said to them, or if it's something bad that's, oh, my God. The Bible says, do not take God's name in vain. People have got no fear of God at all. But if people went round using you as an explicit thing when something's said to them, if they used your name, you'd hate it. You'd hate it. But we think nothing of using God. I listen to people. I see a lot of Christians do it. But I know non-Christians do. But I listen to them. I think, you haven't got a clue what you're doing or what you're saying. Because one day you're going to stand before Almighty God. You're going to stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're going to stand before the Almighty Creator. And the fear of the Lord will hit you then. As Christians, we represent Christ, his love and concern for humanity. We can destroy this by the careless use of our tongue. And let me say this, I don't care how good a Christian you are, if you start to mouth off, you're starting to destroy your testimony. Take an example of Jesus, what a beautiful person he is, and was when he walked the earth, and how careful he used his tongue. Even when they were doing the worst to him, even when they were crucify him, no bad things came out of his mouth. No cursing. No berating the people for what they'd done and were doing to him. What a great example he is to us. If a person, said James, is never at fault in what he says, he is perfect. How do I know Jesus is perfect? Because he was never at fault in what he said. You can't find one scripture, one phrase where Jesus was at fault in what he said. Hallelujah. Can you say praise God for that? He's our great example. As Christians, we represent Christ. We represent his love and concern for humanity. Don't let's destroy that by careless words. Words are powerful and creative. And we should be looking for ways to encourage people by what we say. Over the years, I know that I've encouraged people, and I still want to keep encouraging people. Listen to this. There's something wonderful about knowing that you've encouraged people. From time to time, I'll maybe traveling somewhere, and somebody will come up to me. Somebody just the other week in a shopping center came, said, do you know me? And they called me Pastor John. I said, no, I didn't know you from a bar of soap. And as you get older, you remember less. And this person said to me, well, I remember you. And then they told me a story of 20, 30, 40 years ago, how I said something that absolutely bless them, help them, change them, revolutionize their life. I didn't know that, but the words I spoke through the power of the Holy Spirit brought life, brought meaning. Do you know? And that's a wonderful testimony to have, that you know that there's people around that are doing good by God because you spoke the right words to them. Come on. This is true. We need to look how we can become creative with our words, because words are creative. They are. God made everything by speaking. He created all by speaking, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was. Words are God's invention, not the devil's. Words are God's invention, not yours. Words are God's invention, not Shakespeare. God created words. Words that were to be creative. He created words that would be creative and helpful, uplifting and blessing. And I'll tell you, when we get to heaven, the only things we're going to say to one another are things to encourage one another. We're going to keep on being creative in the words that we speak and see the wonderful things that will happen as a result of that. So words are powerful and creative. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt." I just love that. Do you like that? "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt." Now, we were told a few years ago that salt is not that good for you. Do you remember? They always change their mind about different things. And that, you know, we have too much salt, and so start cutting it out. They've changed now. They realize they told all these people not to have salt, and they wondered why they were collapsing. We need salt. I like salt, and I like salt on my meal. I was at the nursing home when we first put Julie in there, 5 years ago. And I was sitting around the dining table with her and these other people, the other people with dementia. And there was this old lady facing me. She was really old. And she got a daughter with her. And I was with Julie, and I was helping to feed my wife. And this lady, we were waiting for dinner to come. And this lady's daughter said to her, "It's fish and chips today." And, of course, she didn't respond very well. She said, "It's fish and chips. You like fish and chips." And she went, just nodded like that. So they brought the dinner round. And to my amazement, a daughter opened her bag and got out a salt shaker. A daughter. And she put it on, the chips. And and she saw me looking at her. She says, "Oh, don't worry, my mum just loves salt. She's 95 and it hasn't killed her yet." I'm telling you, it's the truth what she said to me. Salt's good for you. Come on. "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt." That could have had a bigger amen than that. When we destructively criticize people, we devalue them. Finding fault is not difficult to do. Focusing on people's faults is never clever. The clever thing is to focus on their good points and their strengths. And I'm waiting for a better amen than that. People think they're clever because they found a fault in somebody. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but I could come round you lot and I can find a fault in every one of you. Some of you, I can find 2 faults. Some of you, 3. Some, 4. Some of you, maybe 1,000. I could find those faults. And you know, if I start to get your faults and expose them, I'm not being clever. What am I doing? I'm devaluing you. When you start to talk to people in such a way that it's destructive criticism, you are devaluing that person. And if anybody knows what it means to be devalued here, and I know a lot of you do, but I do very much so. Brought up in a big family, born in 1941 during the war. My dad had been in the First World War, seen some horrific things. When he came from the war, he started drinking too much. And so he drank so much. So much so that he used to spend the money he earned quite often in the pub. And mum hardly ever had enough to give to the kids. I got 5 sisters and 3 brothers. I was next to the youngest. And I never heard my father ever say 1 good word to me. Never. And in fact, I never heard him talk unless he was drunk. If he wasn't drunk, he was so angry, you'd never hear him talk. But when he was drunk, he'd come out with some rotten things. And for me, and I don't know why, he devalued me. And maybe because I was born with dyslexia and I have a learning disability. If I was in school today, in the modern day and age, they would have taken me for lessons separate to the class, because my brain did not work, could not work how the other kids did. My maths was shocking, absolutely shocking. English was terrible. The only thing at school that I was ever any good at was art. I liked it. It was a natural. But everything else was hard work for me. And people knew that. And so people used to think I was being awkward. I was being just doing it. And I think my dad felt that. So my dad used to say horrible things. You know what he said to me when I was 7 years of age? He says, John, you're no good. You're going to end up on the gallows. My dad said that to me in a drunken stupor. Now listen, I'm 7. And it's my dad talking to me. What did that do to me? Devalued me. I really thought I was no good. I really thought I was useless. And then when I got to school, and because I couldn't read or write very well and I couldn't learn, there was a teacher at school, and I would have been about 12 years of age when the teacher stood me up in class, because I was a bad lad. And this is what the teacher says to me: Warwick, you do not have an inferiority complex, you're just inferior. Teacher told me that. Can you imagine how that devalued me? You don't have inferiority complex, you're just inferior. He actually said it. And I had people after people just putting me down, devaluing me. And what did it do to me? It made me become angry. It made me a thief. I turned into a thief. I joined a gang. I became a gang leader. I got in trouble with the police over and over again because I felt what those people were saying is true. I'm no good. I'm nothing. So I'm going to act like I'm no good. I'm going to act like I'm nothing. And I went into church at the age of 15 with a gang of lads to break a church meeting up. We went in there just to cause havoc in that church. I didn't go to looking for a word. I didn't go looking for God. I didn't go into that church looking to better my life. I went into that church. I said to my mates, let's go in the church and let's ruin their meeting for them. That's what I said. I went 3 times. And on the 3rd time, I got born again. I got saved. My life suddenly changed. I got a heavenly father who started to value me. Not devalue me. The world devalues you. The devil devalues you. God wants to value you. He wants to lift you up. He wants you to feel better than what you're feeling today, because he loves you in spite of what this world may say, or even in spite of what you may think of yourself. And I learned I got a new father, a heavenly father. Hallelujah. And I could listen to him, and he never got drunk. He never told me things when he was drunk. God told me that he loved me. God told me that he really thinks I'm okay. And suddenly, my life, it took a period of time, suddenly started to change. The first thing I stopped was having a filthy mouth. I had a lot of other things that took time to leave. But the first thing, I stopped having a filthy mouth. And then the next I knew, I got to get hold of one of these, the Bible, and I got to read it. But I could hardly read and write, so I bought myself a big Bible, about this size, King James Version, taught myself to read over an 18-month period from reading the Bible only. The Bible valued me, didn't devalue me, didn't put me down, lifted me up, told me I was a child of God, that God loves me and I can do things for God. Tells me that God sent Jesus to die for me. Now Jesus rose from the dead and he's gone to heaven. And Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going up there to prepare heaven and earth for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, because in my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus doesn't lie. So I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to come back, take you to be with me. Come on. This is wonderful stuff. Your words can value or devalue. Your words can lift people up or they can crush people. And you know, I often say, even now in my prayers, Lord, if I've done anything or said anything this day that's crushed somebody, please forgive me. I never want to do that. I don't want to do that. I have to speak the truth, and the truth can hurt, but if it's a truth from God's word, I make no apologies for that. But I don't devalue people because of their faults. I don't point fingers at people because of their faults. And you shouldn't, I shouldn't, no Christian should. We should seek to lift one another up. Come on. And if I'm a Christian and you're a Christian, and if you don't like me, well, that's really tough for you. Because you've got to put up with me for eternity. And I often think that about you, because sometimes I see people, I think, ooh. But I suddenly think, it's my brother or my sister, and I've got to put up with them for eternity. So I'm going to start practicing now. Yes. Come on. Yes. Don't devalue. Husbands, don't devalue your wives. Parents, don't devalue your kids. And children, don't devalue people at school. Don't become bullies. You know, words are so powerful. Today we've got stuff that I never had as a kid. Facebook, Twitter, and all those. Do you know that young people, not just teenagers, but going younger, have committed suicide because of what people have said about them on Facebook or Twitter? I'm serious. You'll be surprised how young some people have been in America. That's read this stuff that somebody has put on Facebook about them. They've read it, and it has devalued them. They don't want to live anymore. That's a power of words. The person hasn't got the guts to say it to the face, but they say it on Facebook so everybody else can read it. That's devaluing people. Our words can devalue and drag down. And you look at the world today, we're always devaluing one another. Up front, we speak nice, but behind people's backs, we gossip and devalue. God, help us. So sad, so damaging. Finding fault is not difficult to do. Focusing on people's faults is not being clever. The good thing is to focus on their good points, their good strengths. The scripture says, above all, Peter said this, above all, love each other, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. When I came to Jesus, I had a lot of things wrong with my life. I'm not kidding you, a lot of things wrong. But his love covered them all. And that song about the blood, what a song that is. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood washes you from sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, washes us. So let's be careful what comes out there. Be careful what you say. I'm nearly finished. Here's a very scary scripture. Are you ready for this? And this scripture was spoken by Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 12. Listen to this. This is Jesus speaking. Everybody listen. This is a scary scripture. But I tell you that men and women will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Man, that's a scary scripture. Come on. We quickly shoot over that one. Don't. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Speaking to disciples that many of them were just uneducated, fishermen, living under the Roman rule when life was so cheap, people died for next to nothing.
There was no welfare system. There was no help, no superannuation, nothing. They just had what they had to buy money just for enough to eat. And Jesus is saying to them at that day and age and to us 2,000 years later, but I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Wow. Every careless word. So even if I've said something carelessly, I'm going to give an account for it if I don't ask God to forgive me. Like I started to say before, I often say to God, Lord, if I've offended somebody, if I've put somebody down, I didn't realize it, I ask for your forgiveness, and I pray that that word will not damage that person. I often pray that prayer because we don't always know. So I often pray, Lord, keep my heart right, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I could speak all the nice words I want to you out loud, but if in my heart I devalue, if in my heart I'm thinking nasty things about you, then the words that I've spoken mean nothing. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. For by your words you will be acquitted, by your words you will be condemned. In effect, Jesus is telling us all to watch your mouth. I know that's a bit, but that's it. That's what he's saying, watch your mouth. The man is a fool who sees little or no value in the power of the spoken word. Can I read that again? The man is a fool, or the woman is a fool, who sees little or no value in the power of the spoken word. It is never too late to make amends for foolish talk. Put a guard over your heart and your mouth for the sake of God, your family, and yourself. And I finish with this. Words can be creative or destructive, depending if we believe what we hear. Whoa. The words that shape our personality are the ones we believe. You are the person you are today because of all the words ever spoken over your life, both directly and indirectly, that you believe. The books we read, the people we meet, influence our lives. You will only change by the influence of words. And I'll round that up with this, that this is so true. You are what you are because of the words that you believe. People read many books, and most of the books they read, they're just books, they don't believe it. Some people read the Bible like they'd read the book, just words. Doesn't affect them at all. But if I read this Bible by faith and I believe it, whoa, I become it. The Bible has the power to change a person's life who believes in it. Because it's not a Shakespearean book. This is a word of God, the powerful, mystical word of God, full of life, full of miracles, but it must be exercised by faith. Now, you've all had words spoken over you, good and bad. And some of you have not taken any notice of the bad words. Good, I'm glad you haven't. But some of you have, and they've started to shape your life like they did mine as a boy. Words started to shape me up there until I found Jesus, and then God's word started to shape me. I want to be shaped by the Bible, the book that the world laughs at, the book that the world mocks, the book that the world wants to burn, the book that the world wants to do away with, the book that the world has spent millions and millions to try to get rid of it, try to bring it down as nothing. That book is what I want to learn, and I want it to change me. That book that the world hates, and let me tell you this, the world hates the Bible. The world mocks the Bible. The world mocks those who read the Bible. But the wonderful truth is, the best-selling book in the world today is the Bible. The best-selling book is not The Origin of the Species. Hallelujah! It's not! It's the Bible. The Bible's still selling more books than any other book, and it gets no help from the world. You don't see in the newspaper an advert for the Bible. Please read the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Tells us about the Creator. Read John 3:16. Tells us God so loved the world. Read them. You don't get that. But anytime anybody writes a book, they put a write upon it. God gets no help. But without the help, he's still the best-selling book in the world today. Say amen. Amen. Louder. Amen. Louder. Amen. Can we, in closing, just show that tongue again? Can we have a picture up of that tongue? I want you to take a good look at it. Who thinks that's a lovely tongue? When I was asking Eve to, we're going to choose a tongue. What was the word you used, Eve? She meant not a horrible, ghastly, yucky one. So I choose a medium yucky one. That's what you've got. And you're going to use it today. And you're going to use it tomorrow and the next day. And that word that you're using, and I close with this, can value people or devalue people. Listen. And that word can value yourself or devalue you. Because the first person to hear the words that you speak are you. And the only words that can harm you, the only words that can harm you and change you are the words you believe. The Bible says the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. Jesus said that. Satan is the father of lies. And the whole world lies in the hand of the evil one. So the words that are being spoken out there are what? How do you know when a politician is lying? When he speaks. How do you know when a young person's lying? When they speak. And really, that may be laughable, but it's a lot of truth in it. We speak lies all the time because we live in a world where Satan controls it. And he is the father. They're not my words, they're the words of Jesus. He is a father of lies. He says he speaks his native language, which are lies. And do you know where he started that? In heaven. He started lying to the other angels and telling the other angels that he was better than God. He started to lie in heaven and did damage in heaven, and he's lying on earth doing damage on earth. But God has sent us his word. You got a choice. Do you believe that or do you believe the world? If you believe the world, you believe in the devil because he controls the world. Do you believe that? I'm not going to give an appeal now, but I'm going to just ask you to bow your head. Close your eyes, and I'm going to pray for you. Father, we know that your word is the best of all. We've experienced it, we've read it, and because we've believed parts of it, we felt changes take place that are absolutely miraculous. And Father, I pray that this message that I've spoke this morning will just rest on our hearts, in our minds, that we will be very careful, Lord, in how we speak. Help us when we gossip to gossip the gospel. Help us when we speak to value people and not devalue them. May this be a church where your word is heard in just a very ordinary way, in a beautiful way, just a natural way, where we don't go preaching at people, we don't go putting people down. We just speak the precious word of God as Jesus taught us to speak. We pray you'll help us. Forgive us. Forgive us for the things we've said that have not been good. Forgive us for the things we have said that have devalued people. And help us to change and be different now. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you.